Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. Today, I'm interviewing Tony Marinetti. He's a trusted advisor, coach, experience creator, author, podcast host, and speaker. He brings together over 25 years of business and management experience, formal training, and extreme curiosity to elevate leaders and equip them with the tools to navigate through change and unlock their true potential. Before becoming the founder and chief inspiration officer of Inspired Purpose Coaching, he was a finance and strategy executive with experience working with some of the world's leading life sciences companies. Along his journey, he also managed small businesses and ran a financial consulting company. Tony is the host of the Virtual Campfire podcast and the author of Climbing the Right Mountain, Navigating the Journey to an Inspired Life. Tony, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You know, Tony, a lot of times when we get into like businesses or investments, we think it's just kind of like a commodified approach where it's just about the numbers, about the math. But really, there's a lot of mindset that goes into a lot of personal qualities, mental qualities, a mindset shift. And that's why I wanted you on this podcast to talk about those, kind of like bringing out that inspiring leader within you so that way you could take these calculated risks and kind of advance in your business ventures. Before we jump into that, do you mind sharing with us more about your background and who you are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I love that you started that way with mindset shift, that it's definitely a great way for us to think about this. So a bit about my background. I came from the world of finance and strategy, working in biotech for most of my life. I spent 25 years in biotech. And what I found along that journey was that it wasn't just about the numbers. It was more about, you know, finding that purpose. So what are the things that were driving us in business? And when you lead with that, the thing that really lights you up, what connects you to something bigger than yourself, then it makes your choices a lot better. But I was doing work that wasn't really meant for me. I realized along the journey that finance was not me. So I had to get out of my own box of thinking, this is who I am, this is what I do. And I decided to explore other options. And I decided to leave the corporate world and start my own endeavor as a coach and advisor to leaders and their teams, to help them to see new possibilities for how they can show up. And so now that's what I do in my current business. I kind of find it as coming back to myself, because when I was younger, I was actually more into being creative and really seeing new possibilities. But then I found myself limiting who I was to fit in.
Thank you for sharing that. It makes a lot of sense, right? Like if you're doing something, it's not you. Right? You need to kind of transition. But one thing I think a lot of people would confuse that with is like, you have one scenario where you're doing something, it's not for you. You need to change that thing that you're doing because it's not for you. But then the other side of that would say, or people would think, that you're doing something you don't like right now, but if you stay in it long enough, then you'll get really good at it. And then you'll be able to overcome that. How do you balance that? Like, how do you find that right decision between those two?
Yeah, it's such a great insight. There's a sense of, you know, to tap into the word of the long game. You know, if you stay in the long game, eventually results will come. You don't want to give up when you're inches from the goal and, you know, think that you're going to leave something on the table. The key thing before someone gives up on an endeavor is to step away from what you're doing, because sometimes you lose sight of what brought you there in the first place. And to look back, take an inventory of, you know, what got you started in the first place? You know, what drives you? What are the things that, you know, brought you to the table in the first place? And if those passions, those desires, those things that inspired you in the first place still exist, then maybe it's worth continuing, but looking at it from a different angle. But if they don't, if things have changed for you and for the environment that you're in, then maybe it's time to reconsider.
That makes sense. So it's like we're looking back, we're taking like a projected view, and as well as looking back as well, like what worked in the past, what didn't. And then it sounds a lot like Simon Sinek's idea of know your why, like constantly, like go back to that why. Do you mind sharing more about that, like knowing your why?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, you're absolutely right on the money. I mean, when he when Simon Sinek came up with this, well, he just explained what was always there, which is this concept of knowing your why, really allows other people to see that when you're showing up powerfully for that reason why you're doing something, then it can help you to overcome pretty much any obstacle in the way. And it becomes very clear for other people to come on board with your mission, because it's very clear to them what we're trying to do. You can make better decisions that way too. And so I think it's great that you say that, because there's a sense of like, why did I start this in the first place? Oh yeah, I wanted to make a difference in this particular space. And that's what got me excited. And all I need to do to make that happen is to overcome this, this one little hurdle that I'm facing right now, or this sense of being stuck.
And you would say that it's a reinforcing process, right? It's not just one time, like when you start your business, it's something that you constantly have to go back to. How often do you think somebody should go back to their why?
Quite often. I mean, there's a reality that, you know, especially entrepreneurs, there's a sense that, you know, it's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster ride. I mean, there are times when we're challenged almost daily to really think, okay, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? There's a lot of things that I'm being challenged with. I have to reset myself and think, okay, where am I headed? Why am I doing it? And what is it that I need to be successful in the next part of the journey? And I wrote a book a while back called Climbing the Right Mountain, which was really geared towards helping people to think, you know, along this journey that we're climbing, you know, whatever it may be that you're trying to accomplish. Sometimes you got to, it's not about changing the path. It's sometimes it's just about pausing along the path and, you know, taking a breath and assessing, okay, where am I? What do I need to do to ensure that I've got what I need to go to the next step on that path?
I see that. That makes sense. And as I was always kind of like researching you, researching what you're doing, I came across a PDF called The 7 Traits of an Inspiring Leader.
Yes.
Do you mind sharing those 7 traits, what they are, and how we could use those traits to become better leaders?
Yeah, I'll tap into a few of them. And one of them that, you know, is the foundation of all that is building trust. And this, you know, trust is such an important part of being an inspiring leader is, you know, when you are someone who others can trust, but also you extend that trust to others. That's a foundation being an inspired leader. The other, some of the other ones that are important is communication. Communication is such an important aspect of being a leader. People often overlook this, and it's important to constantly come back to how well am I communicating? How am I communicating my vision to other people? How am I ensuring that the communication that I'm sharing with others is being received? Because it's not just about what you say, it's how well it's being received by others. So communication is another one. And I hinted at the other one, which is vision. We have to have a vision that others can receive and get excited about. Connects to what we're saying about the why. You know, if your vision has a very strong appeal and motivation to the people around the around you, then what's going to happen is it's going to keep them motivated to show up every day and want to give all they can to make that happen.
I'm hearing that, and you know, based on how you position it, the most important are trust and communication. And I think like trust is a really big one, right? Even the word, saying the word trust, like it means different things to different people. I think it's a really like kind of a strong word, right? Trust, because not trusting somebody or not trusting yourself could, it actually will affect your success. And then vice versa, like over trusting, you know, people and over trusting situations can also hurt you too. So there's this balance, right, of being able to trust. Because, and then I'm using the word being able because not many people can trust themselves and trust others because of their experiences. So it sounds like there's a big deep paradigm that people have to go through, or especially those who want to succeed as entrepreneurs and lead others in the, as far as trusting themselves, reinforcing that trust within themselves is probably the most important, and trusting other people and having different ways and systems and processes of trusting people, kind of like tests that people have to go through for you to see if they're actually trustworthy and for you to trust them.
Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned that, and you said systems, which is a word that I often use. Mm-hmm. I always say that success comes through systems. And what you need when you do that is you need to be proactive about things where you think ahead of time, what do I need to ensure that that these things will get done in the way that they need to? And that might involve some upfront communications with people to say, this is what I expect. This is what I'm looking to accomplish. And I want to make sure we're all on the same page and we're speaking from, you know, where we're headed. Now, keep in mind, systems are great, but there's also a sense of things to go wrong. But what that system allows you to do is it helps you to react to those things. If you don't have a system, what happens is you're just kind of listlessly sailing on a ship that's just tossing you around. So you want to allow yourself the ability to flex and form, but you want to make sure you have something that's allowing you to stay some consistency along that path. And when you have trust that's built ahead of time and comes from this place of getting to know the people around you and understanding, you know, what they believe in, what they care about, that's how it gets built. It's not just through throwing them a bunch of responsibilities and saying, we'll see you later. Have fun with that. It's really through, you know, walking hand in hand with them and allowing them to see what are your expectations of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love the word proactive, right? It's like, you know, the opposite of being reactive. A lot of times it's like, you know, when you're running a business and you're just reactive, you're kind of going with the direction that the business and the issues are bringing you in. Like you're, like how you said, like you're just kind of sailing in either direction, that whatever direction is pulling you in, whatever, whichever way the problems are going. But when you have a proactive approach, you're saying, like, for example, like, what if we have a client issue in the past, and you document that, like that document is called, what if there's a client issue? And then we would address it in these steps here. That way, when there is a client issue, you could just go to that document. What if there's a client issue? What if we're, you know, we need to hire new employees? We have a process for that. We go to that form, we'll go to that document. And it's really hard for people to, I guess, I know it's a generalization. It was hard for me to do that at first, to constantly document certain things and think ahead, think of problems that haven't even happened yet. But really, it's a muscle that you're building, right? It's something that, it's not something you're going to be able to do all in one time, one place, but it's something you do as you go along, very similar to working out or losing weight or gaining muscle, whatever your athletic goals are, your physical goals are. It's something you work on like day by day. And you mentioned that in the PDF, that it's like a muscle. Do you mind sharing more about that? Like, how can one build these muscles over time?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you don't want to get too attached to quickly making things happen. Like there's a slow process to getting to where you want to go, but it's about taking small steps in achieving that. You know, when one of the things that comes to mind around this is this idea of slow is fast, which when I first learned this concept, I wanted to like strangle the person who told me it, because it's frustrating to hear, well, what do you mean by slow is fast? What is meant by this concept of slow is fast is that, you know, when you slow things down, if you're someone who's like used to moving 100 miles an hour, that can be really frustrating, because you can say to yourself, gosh, I got so many things to do. But when it comes down to it, when you slow things down and you look at things, you make better decisions in the moment, and you say, okay, what do I need to do to make this work better, to be more efficient? How can I get ahead of this in a way that allows me to not allow the time to be my enemy, but instead allow me to be the one who's driving the ship, not being somebody who's being dragged by it? So when you slow down, ultimately that allows you to be the one who leads faster, because it brings people to the best direction instead of just moving fast and thinking you're making progress. But ultimately what happens is you're slowing yourself down and having to make changes. And through that process, you're building an intuition, a muscle of understanding, okay, here's how these things can be done better. Here's how we can learn from these mistakes that we're making along the way. Here's how we can make better decisions in this path through this slowing down, being more intentional, being more proactive, and that creates a better path.
Yeah, definitely. I experienced the same thing with like reading books. Like I was really stressed when I graduated college. I was really stressed. I wanted to read a lot of books. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what, I'll just read this whole book in like the next 2 days. And then that wasn't happening. And I kept putting it off and putting it off. And then I said, you know, what if I just read 10 pages of a book a day? That's it. Just max it out. I allocate like 10 to 15 minutes or maybe 20 minutes a day just to reading a book, 10 pages a book. And as time went on, I noticed that these books started to pile up that I was reading. So just so you're right. So going slower could make you go faster in a sense, because more things get done and there's less anxiety. There's less thinking about it. And that's a really big part. Like, thinking is very time consuming. It's a very heavy thing to do. So if you could decrease the thinking and increase your actions, you'll definitely see a lot more progress in your life. You see a lot of things moving faster when you break them down into smaller, more manageable pieces that you can do, you know, 10 or 20 minutes a day, and then they automate. It becomes to the point where you're just reading this book as part of, you know, like brushing your teeth. Like, it's literally just part of your day that goes on. And if you were asked somebody how many times have you brushed your teeth in the last 10 years, you'd hope they lost count, right? So it's like the same thing. Like, you lose count of the good habits you've done over time.
Perfectly put. I love the way you tapped into that, because there's a sense of that's exactly how you build into that is, and you realize when you look back, you're like, how did I get here? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. It was like this small process of taking these little bites and getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony, before we wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about your book. It's called Climbing the Right Mountain. Do you mind giving us a quick summary of what the book is about?
Yeah, at the crux of it all is really the idea that, you know, a lot of people navigate their lives and their careers thinking of success based on what's been defined for them, but not by them. And I've taken this chance to really look at it from this perspective of, you know, how can we look at what we want for our lives, not necessarily what others think we should want. Mm-hmm. And it's redefining fulfillment and taking some steps. There's 8 guideposts in the book that really help people think differently about how they can navigate their journey and create a life that is more fulfilling for them. And when I talk about fulfillment, there's a sense that people sometimes strive for, I want to be happy. I want all these things. But fulfillment is a much deeper sense of satisfaction. It comes from this place of, you know, I know there'll be struggles. I know there'll be challenges along the way, but I love who I'm becoming. Mm-hmm. I, you know, appreciate the growth that I'm experiencing along this path.
I love that. It's like really like, if correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really about like focusing more on your wants, not just your needs, like kind of going a little bit more abundant. Like, instead of just saying, I just need X amount of dollars to survive, say, I want X amount of dollars to be fulfilled in life, you know, like going beyond just basic necessities. And I think that we're programmed to do that because we want to seem modest. We want people to like us. So we're not going to say ridiculous things, and we condition ourselves to limit like our goals, just so that way they're more reasonable. But it doesn't have to be reasonable. It can be abundant. It can go beyond what's conventional or what's normal.
Yeah. And it comes back to what we were talking about earlier a little bit, which is to say, like, it's not to say don't strive for these amazing things in life, mm-hmm. yeah. but do it for the right reasons. Like, make sure your why is aligned with something that is deeply seated in who you are, not because someone says you should. A lot of people say, oh, I should want to be the CEO of a company or the CFO of a company because that's what everyone else is doing. Well, okay. But if you really want to be the CEO of a company, do it because you want to make a difference in the world. And there's something about that particular industry that you want to be a CEO of that you can see the impact that you're making, and it can be defined very clearly. And money is just... it's just an after effect of that.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. How can the listeners connect with you and learn more about you?
Absolutely. The best place they can find me is my website, inspiredpurposecoach.com, or they can find me on LinkedIn. My profile is Tony Martinetti 1. It's instead of an I, it's a 1. There's too many Tony Martinettis out there, I guess. who would have thunk? But I think the website's the best place to find me.
Okay, Tony, sounds good. I'll be sure to add in those links you mentioned in the show notes below, and I'm looking forward to interviewing you again in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.